Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
In the ad break, we've just managed to get into a conversation about the books we were reading when we were 12. But anyway, that's a different story. We're going to get some book recommendations from our librarians now. And I'm joined by Jenny Loughran and Laurie Moriarty, who's a new addition here. You're very welcome, Laurie. Thanks for being with us. So we're going to start, Jenny, with some adult fiction. And you have a book by Patrick Ryan for us.
This book, Claire, is called Buckeye. And I was just looking back at the notes I made last week. It was recommended to me from one of my book club friends, Kathleen. She never fails. She's amazing. And I was saying I had a feeling this book is going to be one of the big novels of the year, but I'm after talking to other people who've read it and listened to it, this is going to be the next big thing.
It's new, is it?
It's new. I think it came out there around September. I got a copy quite early, but it came out around September. Everyone's going to be talking about it. Book clubs, light readers, heavy readers. It's a really beautifully written story. It's like it goes across generations. It's set in small town America. So it spans from the 1920s through to the 1970s in a small town in Ohio. And you kind of get the rhythms of everyday life. You've got two couples, but in the background, you have the effects of World War I actually as well, because one of the characters is affected by his father's experience of World War I. The effects of the characters of World War II and the Vietnam War. It starts in 1945, just after the end of the war. Small town in Ohio, you have a man called Cal Jenkins, and he's haunted not by the war, but by not being able to take part in the war. He couldn't fight. And he crosses paths with a woman called Margaret Salt, whose husband is stationed in the Pacific. And they have a brief encounter, and it sets off ripples that affects the family for generations. It's tender, it's a sweeping story. Love, marriage, grief, forgiveness, the whole lot. They really felt very real. The characters felt very, very, very real. It's really good. It's emotional, but it's not soppy. It's not soppy.
I'm
sold.
Saturated. I mean,
it's a nice big one as well. And I don't think the cover does it justice.
Did you read it or listen to it?
I read it. Okay. I read it.
And I love really the tagline, good. One town, two families, a secret that changes everything. Yeah. Like what
and
more? Like, what
and
more
o- over 50 years in small town America. It's brilliant.
So to remind people, it's called Buckeye
by Patrick Ryan.
Yeah. And that's out now and it's new. And Jenny says we're all going to be talking about it. So get in there quick. Now, Laura, you're going to start us off with Ben Aronovich and Stone and Sky.
Yeah, we've just segued into like Selkies and Mermaids now, but I'm not what you call like a natural fantasy reader.
Meet your sister.
But over lockdown, I got addicted to this series because it's a police procedural, but then it has this extra layer of fantasy placed kind of on top of it. So now like I'm committed, I'm on book 10 and it just came out.
Oh, this is the 10th in a series?
This is the 10th in the series.
Well, Jenny, you'd love him.
I know them. Yeah. They're brilliant.
There's graphic novels, there's comic books, there's young adult books. There's a TV series, hopefully, some point. But it follows Constable Peter Grant and he just has this interaction in the first book with the ghost. And all of a sudden, this secret branch of the Met Police recruit him. And it has magic. But this specific book kind of takes all the characters that you really love from the series and brings them on holiday to Scotland. So they're taken from London to Scotland. And there's this whole different layer of folklore and myth kind of added into it. So it's
and do you
brilliant.
Think we need to start at the beginning or can you jump in here on the 10th one?
They're really done quite cleverly. So everything is really naturally kind of explained in there and laid out again in the first maybe two chapters. So you don't have to do that kind of wait, who is this and why can he do magic?
Yes.
It's kind of naturally unfolded again. So you can just jump in. But they are brilliant reads.
But it might be worth, I think from what you're saying, to go back to book one. And
especially
start
with the audiobooks, because they're read by Cobna Holbrook Smith. And he just reads them brilliant. And there's jazz, there's everything.
Yeah, I'm addicted to the voice of Richard Armitage at the moment.
Oh my God, he's so good.
Yeah, he's reading everything that I'm listening to. And I don't mind that he's a completely different character in the next book. He just reads so well that I'm there.
Yeah.
Right, now we're moving to a children's book. This is for age 6 to 9. Oh, Alora McGee, Banshee.
Alora McGee, Trainee Banshee in the New School. It's written by Sinead O'Hart. It's illustrated by Una Wood. words. I absolutely adore this little book. Now, keeping in mind this time of the year, not all children are happy to see spooky skeletons and witches and everything appearing everywhere, but most children, particularly girls from the age of 6 to 9, will love books, love the Isadora Moon books and the Mirabelle books. They're massive. And this one, Laura McGee, Trainee Banshee, is written in that style and it's absolutely gorgeous. So she's about 6 years old. She's a trainee banshee and she's just started a new school. Now, when I read it, I loved it, but I passed it on to a friend in work whose young child had just changed school. And she said, pun included, but absolutely spot on, it was magic. It, she said it really captured the worry of that. New people, new buildings, new routines. A constant theme throughout the book is how Laura McGee's worries or nerves are felt in her tummy and how she, you know, and she's scared about people accepting her. And like, you have this mischievous, funny, magical little girl dealing with everyday family life, mm-hmm. everyday school life. It's about celebrating people's differences, understanding everyone is special, and the themes are dealt with really, really well. But what's lovely about this one is that the book's very Irish and there's Irish folklore themes in it. We've pookas, we've banshees, the hawthorn tree. It's again, like, it's not scary wicked witches or skeletons, but it's, and it has language that children are used to hearing at home, like ye and mammy and Colcannon and the whole lot. But
like the Millie McCarthy books, that little sprinkle of Irish.
And the whole little bit, like things that children will relate to as well. A shout out about the Millie McCarthy books as well. Our Smart Readers Book Club had a virtual visit from Leona Ford last week. So say hello to my Smart Readers Book Club as well. They are the best book club in any library, but particularly in Waterford libraries. But yeah, Laura McGee, Trainee Banshee. Nice little one. It's got that mixture of illustrations and reading. So independent readers, bedtime stories. It just works so well. Not just for girls as well. Boys will like this too.
Well, that's by Sinead O'Hart, a Laura McGee, Trainee Banshee. Now we're going to Ferdia Lennon's book. We interviewed Ferdia on this programme. We met him on this programme when the book came out. It's called Glorious Exploits, January 2024. It's a really unusual and beautiful book, isn't it?
Isn't it fantastic?
Great.
And he actually read the audiobook as well. So he does all the different accents because, like, it's written, the characters are voiced in the Irish vernacular. And especially, I think, Dublin kind of centric. So it's really magic to listen to it because it mightn't have been a book that I would have picked up and read the whole way through. But that audiobook just drew me into it because it's set in, like, I think the year is like 1412.
And it's ancient Sicily, yeah, isn't it? It's very hard to explain
Sicily.
This book.
I know. And when you say it to people, they look at you like, ah. So it's set in ancient Sicily. It's just after the Athenian army have been defeated during their invasion. All the Athenian prisoners of war are being kept in a quarry and essentially kind of starved. And then there's these two characters, they're both potters, there's Gelon and Lampo, and they are just like something out of, I don't know, Beckett or Joyce, and they're just so vivid. And I think it is that they've been written in this way, like it's so immediate to us, even though it's set like when it is. But they decide to go into the quarry, and the whole thing, especially for Gelon, is poetry and how, like, he has this love of art and love of poetry. And then Lampo is kind of along for the ride. He's just there for the good time. And they're smuggling in wine and scraps of food to the prisoners. And they have this idea that they're going to stage two plays by Euripides and get people to come. And Lampo's like, this would be brilliant money. Like, we'll do this. And Gelon is in it, obviously, for the art. But it was a book I listened to. And I always listen to audiobooks on a walk. And I was walking down, I must have looked absolutely crazy because I was like, I had tears streaming. Some bits are so poignant and so, so heartbreaking.
Yeah, and it's funny as well.
It's so funny. Yeah, like the next 5 minutes.
It's a really unusual book and well worth a look. But I think listening to it now, that's an interesting prospect, particularly if Ferdia is reading it too. And I might go back to it again because I read it before we chatted to him. But worth a revisit because there are layers and layers to Glorious Exploits by Ferdia Lennon. Thirst Trap Jenny by Grainne O'Hare.
A little bit more relatable than Ancient Sicily. because it's three women in a house share in their late 20s when you're kind of getting sick of that dead end job and late nights and hangovers. But the cover alone of this was enough to grab my attention.
I've seen it.
Bright
stiletto.
Pink, and it has a single, like a Barbie shoe with a cigarette in it. It's very eye catching. That's what made me pick it up. And then I've seen it, a lot of buzz about it. Three women in their late 20s, Maggie, Harley and Rosie. They're on the cusp of change. Will it lead to success, collapse, or just the reality of finally growing up? They live in a Belfast house share and they've got fleeting romances, unsuitable hookups, unforgiving hangovers, but the foundations of their friendship are beginning to crack. Each of the characters' stories are told very well. They all get a voice in the book. And then we discover the three women are still grappling with the devastating loss of their fourth housemate, their friend Lydia. And her room remains frozen in time. And the memory of their last argument lingers unspoken about since her death. And each of them are beginning to unravel. And then there's like, I gasped reading the book. It was actually like, oh. And like put it down.
And the twists.
Yeah. No spoilers. But there's the whole thing. It's like, will your friends keep you steady or do they want to put you over the edge? It's really sharp. It's funny. It's heartfelt. It's relatable. And friendship, chaos, comfort and complication. The friendships in your 20s.
Sounds great.
It's really good.
The Thirst Trap by Grainne O'Hare. And Daphne Du Maurier, we're going back here now to After Midnight.
It's actually a new collection that has just come out of her short stories. And I think it's the perfect time of year for some of these kind of short stories. The introduction is by Stephen King. I think usually I would bypass that, but he does a really good job of saying why everyone should be reading Daphne Du Maurier. And we all, a lot of people would be familiar with Rebecca or know her links to the movie The Birds and Don't Look Now, things like that. But these short stories were just... When I got into them, I was familiar with the short story of The Birds and Don't Look Now. But then there were all these other worlds, and she just brings you into this world with such immediacy. But she is as an author, I think sometimes authors can kind of hold your hand through a story. And at the end, they'll be like, and now we'll put a full stop at the end of that and you're happy. But she does not do it. She just will trail off the story at the end and you're just completely haunted by the themes or the story she has.
And
you don't
find that frustrating? I know some people would, or
usually
you do.
I would, you see, but the whole feeling of these stories, they're chilling, they're uncanny, they're the weird kind of vaguely supernatural.
So you're left with a thinker.
You're left with a thinker, and it is that feeling. And sometimes when you pick up a short story like that, that is the feeling you're kind of looking for. And especially maybe with Stephen King or something like that, you want maybe let's tie it up in a bow at the end. But she just refuses to do it every time.
Well, we squeeze in one more. We Are All Guilty here. Actually, this is on my list because I've seen it. It's very high profile.
Karen Slaughter. Because we're looking at the weather and the news and those terrible storms that are happening. And we know we're going to have bad storms here. We're going to have a weekend where we're told stay home, don't go out. And I'm telling people, get yourself a copy of We're All Guilty here and don't start reading it until you're told to stay home with that bad weather. Now, Karen Slaughter is a powerhouse. She's 25 bestsellers, Pretty Girls, the Will Trent series. She's a dedicated follower, so her readers will not be disappointed. But if you're brand new to Karen Slaughter, this is the first of what they're saying now is a trilogy. You've got this small town called North Falls where everyone knows everyone, or so they think, until the night of the fireworks, two teenage girls vanish and the town ignites. And you've Officer Emmy Clifton, she's the new protagonist. It's personal for her because she turned away her best friend's daughter when she came to her for help, and now she must help find her. Every teenage girl has secrets, but who would kill for them? What else is the town hiding? Karen Slaughter hooks you in from page one. It's dark, it's gripping. There were parts in it where I found it did get a little bit bogged down, but I'm so used to her style, I was kind of able to move on a little bit. It's tough. She's really, really good. And by the time the ending lands, you'll be left reeling and question, who can you trust? Who can claim innocence? Karen Slaughter, top for game. I'll be getting the second one as soon as it comes out.
All right. It sounds great. Thank you so much for the list, Laurie and Jen.